relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
This episode of the America First podcast with me, Sebastian Gorka, is brought to you by Franklin Armory. Shop freedom, quality, and innovation at franklinarmory.com. Franklin Armory, we are facilitators of freedom. Welcome, dear friends. You're listening to America First One-on-One with me, your host, Sebastian Gorka, former strategist for Trump and still member of the Pentagon's National Security Education Board. Who really has influence in today's world? This phrase of influencers. Who are the people with the narrative power? Well, for a while, it was a diminutive Scandinavian young girl who had a certain way with words. Let's remind ourselves. Play cut.
This is all we hear from our so-called leaders. Words. Words that sound great, but so far has led to no action. Build back better, blah, blah, blah. Green economy, blah, blah, blah. Net zero by 2050, blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. Is she making fun of the blah, blah, blah? Is she making fun of the net zero and the great reset? Or is she still one of these dangerous propagandists? Let's talk to a man who pushes back every single day at theclimatedepot.com. He's a man who's taught me so much about the fraud that is modern environmentalism. Mark Morano, author of The Great Reset. Welcome back to America First.
Thank you, Sebastian. Happy to be here.
All right. We have so much to discuss, especially with regards to a certain article from the United Nations you sent me last week that very rapidly, soon after you discovered it, was memory hold like something out of George Orwell's 1984. But let me start at the beginning. What's happened to little Greta Thunberg? She was such the darling of the Western elites, even when she... What was that thing she did with a yacht? She crossed the Atlantic and then flew back, or her team flew back on carbon-emitting jets. Has she kind of disappeared, or she's still out there wagging her finger at us?
Well, she's still around. And yeah, just as a reminder, she didn't. She said she was in, I guess, America, and she said, I have to get to over to Europe. How am I going to do this? And someone said, oh, you know, there's an invention about the Wright brothers came up with an airplane. You might try that. But of course, she said she couldn't. So she came up with a fossil fuel made yacht with a whole crew that ended up flying back and forth to man the yacht. So it was a massive virtue signal of nonsense. But there she was on the yacht trying to avoid the airplane to send her statement to the world that she wasn't going to embrace a modern airplane because it was too evil to the planet. The clips you showed were actually from the summit I attended last fall in Scotland. It was at the United Nations Climate Summit. And she actually, I supported Greta's comments. She was calling the United Nations process blah, blah, blah. In other words, if we did face a climate catastrophe and we had to rely on the UN to save us, we'd all be doomed because all they wouldn't do is impose socialism and authoritarianism on us. Of course, her critique of the UN and the EU and the World Economic Forum is they don't go far enough. So she's out there, but we do support her message that these are illegitimate and fraudulent institutions who don't appear to be what they say they are. And that's what she was criticizing. So she actually got quite disillusioned at that summit and just basically thought it was a lot of hot air talk from politicians. And with that, we welcomed her because she finally realizes that's what the UN is all about.
Yeah. Well, yes, but I'm not sure she's become one of us. We'll talk more about the latest permutations in the narrative. But first, got to discuss this article. So let's put the image up on the screen. This is what you sent me last week, which we thought was something out of the Babylon Bee. This is from the United Nations, the UN Chronicle. Just the headline from George Kent, the benefits... Yes, the benefits of world hunger. This isn't the Babylon Bee. It is the United Nations. Tell us a little bit about who George Kent is and whether or not this is parody, Mark.
Okay, this was this first appeared in the United Nations flagship journal, the UN Chronicle, in 2008. It was republished in 2009. And this pretty much lied dormant for the last 13 years or 14 years until last week when social media caught a hold of it. This then became an internet sensation. Now, this spread all over the place, and the United Nations became very embarrassed. I actually interviewed the author, George Kent, University of Hawaii political professor. He's now emeritus since he last wrote this, and he was dead serious in this article. He said he wrote it to be provocative because in his dealings around the world, talking to the wealthy, talking to the elite, he said that every single one of them essentially wanted to see the world's poor destabilized and hungry because that kept them motivated to work hard and essentially for dirt ball low wages. So this was his modus operandi of writing this article. And he was laying out a vision of the world's elite and even possibly a critique of the UN. But the UN, seeing how much bad publicity this was last week, especially after I published an interview with Professor Kent himself, and I'm aware I'm the only person who interviewed him, they ended up pulling the article. And it was literally pulled from their site within 24 hours of my interview with him, and then it just became a page not found 404.
Let's put that image up there. We have that as well. So within, you know, a few hours of you sending me the original article, this is what happened to that URL. Yeah. 404, page not found. And then what are the contradictory stories from both Professor Kent and the United Nations after you did that interview with him?
Well, then the UN released a statement. Now, it's incredible to get the United Nations to blink. They issued a statement saying this article was pulled. It was intended as satire, but apparently it didn't go over well. So we've now deleted it from our archives.
Oh, hang on. You're the guy that follows all this stuff. In the last, since the San Francisco conference of 1946 or 45, how many satirical articles has the United Nations published? Just a rough number. Is it hundreds or thousands?
I'm not aware of any.
Right, zero.
I would say zero. Because one thing you know about the UN, besides the fact they know how to throw a party at these annual conferences, they have no sense of humor. They have no sense of satire. In fact, when they talk, even though it may sound like satire, it's typically the real deal. They mean it. That's, you know, the same with the World Economic Forum and a lot of these other big institutions. They take themselves very seriously. So this was never in it. This was a false, I mean, outright blatant lie by the United Nations. And they knew it. This was not satire. So I then reached out to George Kent again, and he reiterated to me that he said it was a shame they didn't consult him before pulling the article. He reiterated that it was not satire, and he was disappointed in the United Nations. Now, what's interesting about this is if you actually go through the article, and the original article, again, 14 years ago, 2008, he talks about it being a positive value, hunger, and hungry people, they're most productive. It reads as though it was a Southern slave owner talking about how to get, you know, your African slaves to give you more work and pick more cotton. That's how outrageous it is. It reads like a feudal lord from the Middle Ages telling how we get the serfs, how we can squeeze more work out of them. And I think this accurately reflects, as the author intended. He said this was in his dealings with wealthy elites around the world, how they treat the poor, and they want them destabilized. They want them hungry, literally and metaphorically, because the hungrier they are, the harder their work, and the cheaper their work.
But isn't, I mean, this is the real point of this whole little incident, that it so beautifully illustrates the worldview of the quote-unquote elite, the Greta Thunbergs, the John Kerrys, as they jet around the world, as they use their petroleum-made yachts or whatever, that they get to do whatever they want, but they want to cripple everybody else, especially the developing world, by saying, you live in your little feudal ways because that's better for the planet, while I get on my private jet and fly off to Gstaad or to Geneva. I mean, this, whether it was satirical or not, this is exactly what they've been preaching for decades, is it not, Mark?
It's exactly. Of course, they just they said the quiet parts out loud.
Yes.
Very rare that they get into the motivation and the intent and how they're doing it. But this is what this is what's happening all over. I mean, if you look at the World Economic Forum, their stated goal is you will own nothing under the Great Reset. You will own nothing. You'll be happy.
Yeah.
All your food will be delivered by drone. You will not be eating meat. If you do, it'll be a, quote, rare and expensive treat. You will have no privacy, but you won't mind. This is their vision of how they do it. You will not eat meat, but you will be forced to eat lab-grown fake meat. You'll be forced to eat insects. And, of course, I don't know what they serve at these World Economic Forum meetings that they have in Davos. I don't know if they're serving up fried crickets or they have nice meat. I'm not sure, but hard to believe. It's like the old Politburo. They're going to have one set of rules for them and one set for what they consider the masses.
We have seen this all before. It's just being repackaged. What does the Great Reset mean? That's next here on America First with me, Sebastian Gorka, and Mark Morano. If you enjoy these in-depth discussions with the real experts, subscribe today. Go to Spotify, plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. It's absolutely free. Guarantee that you never miss an episode. Give us a 5-star rating and share with your friends. This is America First. I'm your host, Sebastian Gorka. If you haven't done so already, register for our Stand With Israel tour 10 days later this year in the Holy Land to literally walk where our Lord and Savior walked the earth with my Salem colleague Dinesh D'Souza and his lovely wife Debbie, the directors and producers of 2,000 Mules. Even if you've been to Israel before, you haven't been with me and Dinesh. Join us for the trip of a lifetime. They've dropped their COVID restrictions. I'm not vaccinated and I'm going. So join us today. Reserve your places by calling 855-565-5519 or just go to standwithisraeltour.com. That's 855-565-5519, standwithisraeltour.com. From cringing at the pump to getting an eye-popping check at your favorite restaurant, inflation is hitting us where it hurts. And it really hurts. That's why I've started using Upside. Upside is an incredible app for anyone who buys gas, groceries, or dines out. With every purchase, you earn cash back thanks to Upside. To get started, download the free Upside app in the App Store or Google Play. Use my promo code GORKA and get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. Next, claim an offer for whatever you're buying on Upside. Check in at the business, pay as usual with a credit or debit card, and get paid. In comparison to credit card rewards or loyalty programs, you can earn 3 times more cash back with Upside. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon or other brands. Cashback lets me save a little more for everyday spending on clothes, food, etc. Upside users are earning more than $1 million every week. That's probably why we have a 4.8-star rating on the App Store. Download the free Upside app and use promo code GORKA to get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. That's $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more using promo code GORKA. He's the author of numerous works, Busting the Bubble of the Green Propagandists. My Bible on the issue is The Politically Incorrect Guide to Climate Change. After that, he wrote Green Fraud, Why the Green New Deal is Even Worse Than You Think. And the latest one is The Great Reset, Global Elites and the Permanent Lockdown. We'll talk about The Great Reset, but before we get to that, Mark Morano, can you just remind us? Let's have a little bit of tour d'horizon, a little bit of a winding back of the clock. What have we been told for the last 60 or 70 years? What are the hysterical pronouncements? What was the first one? Was it the new ice age? Can you walk us through a quick review of what the experts have told us?
Yeah, well, the very first big one that caught on was the overpopulation scare. And that was in late 1960s by Paul Ehrlich. Now, interestingly enough, he came out and he made a bunch of predictions that were 3-5-year deadlines, things like resource scarcity, famines, running out of fossil fuels, massive, depopulation of people because the world won't be able to feed them because there's growing so many. he was proven wrong spectacularly on every single one. Even did a bet with a free market economist and lost that bet. He was on Johnny Carson, Paul Ehrlich, as late as 1980, predicting the end of oil within 10 years because we were going to run out. You could not be, as an academic, more spectacularly wrong than Paul Ehrlich. And what did they do? He's still alive, and he's still winning environmental awards and academic awards. They love this guy. And you know what his answer is? He wasn't wrong. A lot of his predictions just didn't come true yet. So if I predict that you're going to die and I'm going to die, if we're not dead in 40 years or 80 years, whatever, we'll just say, well, it hasn't happened yet, but my prediction was true. So he's predicting endless catastrophes. When they don't come, he says, well, they're still coming, so I'm not wrong.
I love it. All right, so that's the first one, overpopulation. We're not going to have enough food. What was next, Mark?
Well, next, you'd go right into the 1970s global cooling scare. And here's what's interesting about that. Before fossil fuels caused global warming, fossil fuels caused global cooling. They believe that the aerosols from our fossil fuel burning were creating essentially soot in the atmosphere and blocking out the sun, which was creating global dimming, which was then going to plunge us into a very cold period. We had scientists write Richard Nixon as president warning of a global cooling. We had CIA reports in great detail warning of man-made global cooling and a coming ice age. You had pop culture getting involved. You had people like Leonard Nimoy doing a whole show on it with interviews with scientists who later became global warming alarmists. Well, in the 70s, they were global cooling alarmists. And they blamed the same thing, Sebastian. Heat, flood, droughts, tornadoes, whatever it was, that was based on man-made global cooling, and they had a tipping point. Unless we act quickly, it'll get too bad. They said all scientists agree. They had all the same rhetoric then. And then, of course, going into the 80s, you had the Amazon rainforest scares. You had Sting's rainforest concerts. Into the 90s, you had all the documentaries, and it turned out for every acre of rainforest being cleared, 50 were being regenerated. The danger was slash and burn agriculture, but guess what? All those poor slash and burn farmers, agrarian farmers, ended up moving to urban areas. The New York Times admitted this in 2006, I believe it was, that the jungle, it wasn't such an urgent cause after all. It was regenerating, and as people moved to the urban areas, the jungle was returning back to nature, and it also regenerated unbelievably. So that was another big scare. You had a bunch of other little ones thrown in there, like acid rain and, of course, species extinction, which they're still trying to promote. We've had a radical reduction in species loss since the Industrial Revolution began. We know how to protect species. We know how to protect habitats. We know how to do forestry now, where you can do what you can even call it sustainable forestry, where you don't clear out entire areas. You do little swaths where it can grow back within 5 to 7 years. You can't distinguish a logged forest from one that was never logged. So we've come so far with technology and innovation and scientific understanding, and environmentalists just want to strip it all away and make us live primitive and take away our economic and private property rights because they claim that's the only way the earth can be saved. It's bonkers, it's dangerous, and it goes back decades. And it goes back all the same solutions that Paul Ehrlich proposed for population control. We've heard over and over, the same with global cooling in the 70s. They want central planning, wealth redistribution, sovereignty limiting treaties. Paul Ehrlich, in his case, wanted to put sterilization agents in drinking water, both in the U.S. and Africa, in order to limit our population growth.
Shocking. All right. And then how many of these fear tactics have we seen? Have you listed all of them for us, Mark?
There's too many to list. Of course, then I'm just getting warmed up here. Then after all that comes global warming. Global warming doesn't really become front and center as the number one environmental scare until the early 2000s, and certainly coalescing by the time Al Gore's first film comes out, 2006. And the key here is they got all the previous environmental scares and they've just now dumped them and thrown them all into the climate scare. They're all in on global warming. At least they were until COVID came along and they realized that a virus cut across ideological party lines. It was just as easy to scare a conservative as it was a liberal early on with a virus. So now climate change, I'm predicting, has been officially demoted and is now a subset of future viral fears that'll be led by both the UN and the World Economic Forum and, of course, the World Health Organization. And they're already looking for a global authority to do instant lockdowns globally. They don't want outliers like DeSantis's Florida or Sweden or any country that defies it. They want to sign countries up, and they want Bill Gates-funded experts at the World Health Organization. He's the largest single donor outside of the U.S. government, to then be able to declare any kind of health emergency, and then they will be able to control transportation, economies, your personal movement, lockdowns. This is their stated goal. And the way climate works now, and there's been multiple studies, Harvard University's in on this, peer-reviewed journals, if climate goes unchecked, we end up with more COVID-like viruses. So if you don't support the Green New Deal or the UN Paris Climate Pact, you are a grandma killer, because it's going to bring more deadly viruses to the planet. This is how it's all come together now in 2022. It's nuts.
We've heard this before, pushing grandma off the cliff. Now they're using COVID as cover. We're talking to Mark Morano. You've got to follow him at climatedepot.com and the author of The Great Reset. Dear friends, you know my friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their lives. He didn't start by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike has done it again by introducing his My Slippers. For a limited time, you'll get $90 off a pair of My Slippers. This blowout sale of the year won't last, so order now. They took over 2 years to develop. They're designed to wear indoor and out. I've already worn out my first pair of My Slippers, and they're made with the same amazing My Pillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue, and lined with real suede. Call 800-829-8468. Use promo code Gorka for that massive discount, or just go to mypillow.com and click on the radio listener square and put in the secret code GORKA. This offer won't last long. You won't regret it. They are the best slippers I have ever owned. And $90 off mypillow.com. Do it today. Promo code GORKA. Now, there are not many like you, Mark, but there are some out there who are prepared to speak honestly about what is going on. I have to share a cut. You may not have seen this. This is something I found on Twitter at the weekend. It's from an Australian, by the sounds of it, on some kind of news show. And he asks a member of the government a very simple question. Play cut. Cut three.
When I asked, well, just around, Alice, you've been speaking for most of the night. When I asked Tanya Plibersek,
we'll fact check that one for you.
Yes.
When I asked Tanya Plibersek, was the deputy leader of the Labor Party and the potential deputy prime minister, was carbon dioxide the big issue in relation to climate change? And she said yes. I then said, well, that being the case, what percentage of the atmosphere is made up of carbon dioxide? And she said, I don't know. And I said, hang on, you don't know what percentage of the atmosphere is carbon dioxide, and yet you're prepared to stand the economy on its head to address a problem, the detail of which you don't know. So when I then explained that the percentage of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, Alice, is how much? Alice, how much of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere?
To answer the question, Scott Morrison has said he believes in climate change and that he wants to do something about it.
Alice, how much carbon dioxide is the problem? How much carbon dioxide is there in the atmosphere?
I'm not a scientist.
Too much.
I don't know.
Hang on. If you're going to argue the case, you ought to know. It's 0.04%. And of that 0.04%, human beings around the world create 3%. And of that 3%, Australia creates 1.3%. So for the 1.3% of 3% of 0.04%, we then decide to have a national economic suicide.
Alan, I'm happy for you to have made that point.
Now, that's the Q&A show out of Australia. Somebody asking the shadow environment secretary something that she should know, right? I mean, if CO2 is the boogeyman, shouldn't you know how much of it is crushing down on us right now, Mark?
We had the same thing here in the U.S. They asked, I believe it was Obama's EPA administrator, what our current level of CO2 was in the atmosphere. It's about 410 parts per million. She had no clue. And I believe that was Alan Jones. He's a talk show host from Australia. By his voice, I had not seen that clip. But what's fascinating about this whole thing is he got to the crux of it, not just scientifically, but from a cost-benefit analysis. In other words, if you look at the chart, if you look at what India's emitting and what China's emitting in terms of carbon dioxide emissions, John Kerry has actually admitted if the United States and Europe zeroed out all of our emissions, that wouldn't even make a dent in global emissions, let alone global, you know, storminess or temperature if you go start getting into the greenhouse, you know, the climate change claims. So what he's getting to the heart of is we are committing economic suicide. The Netherlands is committing agricultural suicide right now by shutting down their farms for climate goals. Even if the West shuts down everything, it ain't going to make a difference because of what China and the developing world, South America, Asia, all these countries are doing. They are boom times in CO2. China's building a coal plant a week. All we're doing is essentially redistributing the wealth of our nations over to these poorer countries who are going to pass us by, like we're turtles on the side of the road. So that was a very valid point, both scientifically and cost-benefit analysis.
Let me just remind everybody what that individual just said. So CO2, this scary thing, how much of the atmosphere is carbon dioxide? 0.4%. How much of that is generated by human beings? Of the 0.4%, 3%. So, you know, if we stopped exhaling, if we went back to age, we have no effect at all, practically. That's the point, correct?
Yes. In fact, humans, we inhale oxygen, we exhale carbon dioxide. What was so shocking about the Supreme Court, they overturned it, but the original Supreme Court case and then the Obama administration trying to regulate carbon dioxide as a pollutant, they were regulating human breath as a pollutant. And there was a big academic government-funded report out of the UK, I believe 2019 or 20, that wants to regulate carbon dioxide as asbestos, as we regulate asbestos. So this is how absurd we're becoming. This trace essential gas in the atmosphere that's critical for photosynthesis, that's literally NASA says is responsible for greening of the planet Earth, increasing our flora and fauna, while at the same time shrinking deserts in the last 40 years. They want to regulate that as asbestos, as a pollutant. And thank God, the Supreme Court came out and literally, at least in the United States, stripped that regulatory power under them. In other words, if they want to do insane, unscientific things with carbon dioxide, they're going to have to get Congress to pass it. And remember, they're not very good at that. President Obama had a supermajority. 2009, they barely passed a climate bill in the House. It dies in the Senate because a whole coalition of Democratic senators, including Al Franken of Minnesota, said they weren't going to support the climate bill. That's how unpopular these are when brought to a vote. That's why Obama and that's why the EPA wanted to do this through the regulatory state, because they knew that democracy doesn't work for climate regulations.
Right. Bingo. He is the author of numerous works. All of them should be on your bookshelf, on your nightstand. The one that opened my eyes is The Politically Incorrect Guide to Climate Change. Then after that, Green Fraud, Why the Green New Deal is Even Worse Than You Think. And his latest book just out is The Great Reset, Global Elites and the Permanent Lockdown. He's Mark Morano, and you can follow him at climatedepot.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that works, pain relief that's real, pain relief that is liberating. Tens of thousands of Americans across the country, me included. Yes, I had a lower back pain issue that plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade. I took Relief Factor. 2 weeks later, I was pain-free, and I'm still pain-free more than 3 years later. Find out for yourself by ordering the 3-week quick starter pack, calling 800-500-8384. Or just go to relieffactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me and thousands of your fellow Americans. That's 800-500-8384. Relieffactor.com. Relieffactor.com. Mark, first things first, before I get to the next question, of all the people who want us to not travel, not get on a plane, ride a bicycle, and eat vegetables or fake beef, how many people who are preaching us, like the John Kerrys and, you know, the movie stars and whatever else, how many of those people are living that lifestyle, you know, eating tofu while riding a bicycle? Any of them?
The only person I've ever been aware of who's actually tried was Ed Begley Jr. I believe he actually had his house. He was off the grid. He took a bike everywhere. I haven't followed with him in years, but he was always the one guy. And I remember praising Ed Begley Jr., the actor, for basically walking the walk. And the environmentalists and the media got mad at the time, saying, we can't allow this because then he'll become the standard, which none of us can speak out unless we live this lifestyle like him. I don't know that he actually lived that perfectly, but all the reports were that he was actually trying and that he actually deprived himself of stuff. So he's the only person I can think of that actually follows this lifestyle or attempts to.
Only one. Okay, let's talk about your latest thesis. This is, you know, the scary phrase, the Great Reset. Will you map for us how this phrase, where does the Great Reset come from as a concept? Who's propagating it? And how does it overlap with and how does it meld with COVID, Wuhan, and the lockdown restrictions? Can you make that connection for us, Mark?
Well, yes. Well, first of all, if you go back to Tsarist Russia, you had Vladimir Lenin, who, according to reports, popularized the phrase, worse is better, the worse, the better. Those are the key phrases. And that was your original concept of a Great Reset. In other words, you want as much turmoil and disruption and calamity in a society in order to collapse it so you can rebuild it in your image. So where we get fast forward to modern times, the climate movement was chugging along, getting nothing done, essentially. I mean, they tried to get UN Paris agreements, and then Donald Trump pulls us out, and then the U.S. ends up leading the world in reducing CO2 emissions. They couldn't get anywhere in polling. They didn't get anything through Congress. They were stuck with a regulatory state. So they were struggling. COVID comes along, and they realize that the COVID lockdowns were exactly what they've wanted for climate for decades. It was exactly what they wanted: stay at home, limited travel, planned recessions to fight climate change. Well, this was a government planned recession to attempt to crush a virus, even though it didn't work. So what happened was the World Economic Forum out of Davos, which has been around since the early 1970s, founded by Klaus Schwab, which is, you know, people call him, some people try to claim he's a capitalist. He's a corporatist, globalist, elitist who wants a collusion between government and corporate. He actually wants the corporate world to control government. And he's done a pretty good job of trying to make that happen, especially what we're seeing in the Netherlands right now with their leader, who's a stooge of the World Economic Forum. But essentially, when COVID lockdowns hit by June of 2020, just 2 months after, they came out, World Economic Forum, and announced, now is the time for a Great Reset. We have a very rare and narrow window of opportunity to reset capitalism as we know it. And they wanted to use that moment where everyone was essentially crushed, vulnerable, and the whole world was at a standstill to then, quote, build us back better under a Great Reset. And that became the mantra from the UK Prime Minister to Joe Biden to Macron and France, all over, build back better, all based on the Great Reset. John Kerry endorsed the Great Reset by name. Al Gore endorsed the Great Reset by name. Time Magazine endorsed the Great Reset by name. Multiple world leaders endorsed it. And so the idea here is to get rid of the old normal and replace it with this new normal. And what is that new normal? It's, again, you'll own nothing. You'll be happy. You'll be not eating meat. You'll be have no privacy. You're going to be controlled by an expert bureaucratic class who are credentialed and know better than you. In other words, if you're a parent of a small kid and you don't want your kid to be masked, it's not your choice because you didn't go to epidemiology. You don't have an epidemiology degree. You're not an expert doctor. You haven't looked at all the studies. You have no say in how your children's done because the experts know better than you. And this is the mindset. They want rule by a very few elite. And that's how this is coming about. Just to bring it to an issue today, in the Netherlands, this is coming from the World Economic Forum, from the UN Sustainable Development Agenda. The idea is we have to get nitrogen out. They say it's a worse greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide. And who are they targeting? Family-run traditional farms that are going to go bankrupt and under with these regulations. They'll either be replaced by corporate farms, equity asset firms, big investors like Bill Gates, or they'll end up being converted into some other use. And they're the biggest exporter of meat in Europe. So what does that mean when all these farms start going under in the Netherlands, the biggest exporter of meat? It means meat shortages, higher prices. This is all part of the agenda of the Great Reset, pushing the fake lab-grown meat, pushing insect eating, changing every aspect of your life. They're going after private car ownership. The UK transport minister under Boris Johnson announced that owning a car was outdated 20th century thinking. Andrew Yang, the Democratic nominee, wanted to, under the guise of the Great Reset, wanted people to have only roving fleets of rental electric cars available when you need them. There's a whole movement afoot to make airline travel under declared climate emergencies rare, and you have to justify it to a government official. You know, it's got to be for a funeral. You get a certain allowance for vacation. You can't take too many because the emissions are so bad. This is the Great Reset. It's coming at us through wealth transfers, the lockdowns, greatest transfer of wealth from poor and middle class to the wealthy, the destruction of small business so you can have woke corporations taking over every aspect and essentially ruling society. The less small businesses you have, the more control for the elites. And this is why they love big tech and Amazon. And this is why Walmart was open during the lockdowns, but your local gym and or, you know, you couldn't go to church during the lockdown. Your local family restaurant was closed. This is the Great Reset in action. And they're going to keep the viral scares coming. They're pushing all these. We're seeing right now in Washington, D.C., New York, shutting down highways, trying to pressure Joe Biden to declare a national climate emergency. Once he does, potentially, depending on how it plays out in courts, you could have governors and mayors banning cars from driving in cities, odd, even days, shutting of gas stations under, you know, during heat waves because of, you know, climate emergency statutes. You could have a similar situation we had in COVID where the people are going to be restricted on their movement due to this alleged climate emergency, all part of the Great Reset.
Well, something's happening, whether it's on the streets of Sri Lanka or whether it's the farmers in Europe. There is a pushback, and it is in part thanks to the great work of people like our guest Mark Morano, the founder of ClimateDepot.com and the author most recently of The Great Reset. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that works, pain relief that's real, pain relief that is liberating tens of thousands of Americans across the country, me included. But it's not just me. It's people like Yvonne from California. This is Yvonne's story. Both my husband and I are in our 70s and so grateful to have found Relief Factor. We tried so many other solutions, but none of them have given us the freedom of being pain-free like Relief Factor. Just those words, pain-free, should be reason enough for you to order the 3-week quick starter pack at ReliefFactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do, and I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Yvonne, and tens of thousands of your fellow Americans. You've waited long enough. You deserve to know. Find out today. ReliefFactor.com, 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384. Don't wait any longer. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. One of the most reprehensible aspects of all of this is the fear-mongering, Mark. We've been told now for, 3 years that we've got 12 years till the end of the world. I wonder what happened to that. But for some people, they fall for it, or they are willing propagators. This is a Democrat politician called Congresswoman Katie Porter during a hearing in the House talking about her 9-year-old child. Cut to.
Ms. Thunberg, I just wanted to ask you one question. I have a 9-year-old daughter. I have 3 kids. And I told my 9-year-old daughter that I was going to be speaking with you. And I said, what do you think about the climate change? And she said, the earth is on fire and we're all going to die soon. And I asked her how that made her feel. And she said it made her feel angry.
The earth is on fire. Isn't this the most disgusting aspect of everything that you reveal for us, that adults are doing this to young children, telling them the world is about to end?
Yeah, in my book, Green Friday, I have a whole chapter on child indoctrination. And not only are they scaring kids witless, and there's reports of psychological anxiety and psychologists seeing a lot more kids. These kids are being indoctrinated from kindergarten through college. And they're being indoctrinated not just by a school system and not just by the media, but by elected officials, bureaucrats, and law firms. These kids are being recruited, and I detail this in 60 Minutes profile this. They're being recruited by law firms to sue and environmental groups to sue the U.S. government for failing to stop climate change and thus endangering their future. So 60 Minutes profiled a girl who claims she woke up and put her ankle in climate change. because her house was flooded. I believe it was Louisiana, which is low-lying, prone to flooding.
She said she put her ankle in climate
change. And that's why she got in the lawsuit, because climate change affected her, because her house was flooded in Louisiana. And this is what passes for news and actual relevant facts on 60 Minutes. But they're being recruited by a former NASA scientist who was an activist. He was arrested at least half a dozen times protesting climate. They're being recruited to show up in court, to testify. They're being used as little propagandists. And it's horrendous that parents are allowing this. But they're also called to Capitol Hill. They say things in front of the U.S. Capitol building when they testified when Greta was there in 2019. Mom and dad inherited the planet. Mom and dad, you know, messed up the planet. It's up to our generation to fix it. So the kid, it's turning children against their parents. They're mad at their parents if they leave their phone plugged in overnight, or they leave the lights on, or they drive an SUV, and they feel like all this burden is on them to save the planet, the ways of their parents.
The world is going to end. Before it ends, you're going to eat tofu, ride a bicycle, and we're going to eat sirloin steak and fly on our private jets. Find out more. The book is The Great Reset, Global Elites and the Permanent Lockdown, by our good friend Mark Morano. Follow him at climatedepot.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head on a swivel, watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
I have a dream today. Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you, the rest of the world hears you, and the people... and the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Raul helped build this organization with the understanding that the diversity of this community, as distinct as the Bogotas of the Bronx, as beautiful as the blossoms of Miami, and as unique as the breakfast tacos here in San Antonio.
What is a breakfast taco? I mean, I know I'm an immigrant and I got white skin, but I've heard of breakfast burritos. What is a breakfast taco? Maybe you guys can help me. And what is a bogada? Welcome, dear friends. This is America First with me, your host, Sebastian Gorka. That is the wife. No, she's not a PhD. I have a PhD. If you've got an ed, a doctorate of education, that's not. Put Sam on the lip. Just give me line one. Give me line one. Hey, line one, Sam the liberal, what do you want?
Hey, I was wondering what your thoughts were about the Missouri state representative that wants to eliminate voting rights for naturalized citizens. I know that you're a naturalized citizen.
I have no idea what you're babbling about. Do you know that Jill Biden is a racist? What do you think of Jill Biden saying that Mexican Americans are tacos? You answer me that question first, Sam the liberal.
It's pretty disgusting, if you ask me. But
so she is a racist. You believe Jill Biden is a racist like I do. You're agreeing with me, Sam the liberal.
No, I
can't. Then goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye, Sam.
goodbye. That was fun because Jeff never stays on the line, does he? You talk to him. I see him pop up on the screen caller, and he it's like he has a problem with sustaining his energy levels.
That's why you only hear him on Rumble. It's not because we won't put him on the radio show. He won't listen. He won't even hold him for the entire break of 3 or 4 minutes.
What does that mean? He just doesn't have the stamina?
There's definitely a lot of that, I think. Yeah,
it's probably his testosterone levels. Okay, let's get back to opening the show. Thank you, Sam, for being a complete putz. It just illustrates everything that we do here and why we have to push back on your lies. So, Jill Biden enjoys breakfast tacos and goes shopping in the bodegas of Brooklyn. Let's just stop for a second. I know it's already become a factory of memes. Even my team came up, John, with a superb one. If you haven't seen it, it's everywhere. It's on Twitter. It's on Instagram. It's on Facebook. It's on Truth Social. A little musical rendition of that clip. But that is so much deeper than the initial response. Why? Because it's a glimpse behind the curtain of who these people really are. First things first, that wasn't off the cuff. That was a script. She was reading from a teleprompter, which means the system, the team in the White House, in the First Lady's office, in the press section, had multiple people design the speech, vet the speech, type the speech up for review, and then put it into the teleprompter. So dozens of people were fine with calling Hispanic Americans tacos. You're as lovely and diverse as a piece of corn flour fried with meat in it. What would have happened if a Republican had said that? Forget Donald Trump. Forget somebody who is president or the first lady like Melania. Anyone, a state rep, had said that about Hispanic Americans. You're like tacos. You know what the response would have been? That person's career would have been ended before they left the stage, before they exited the building where they were holding the speech. But what it tells you is that everything they preach about fighting for the little guy, fighting for minorities, is an arrant lie, is propaganda. If you can't say the word bodega, if you don't even know the word bodega, but your husband is prepared to condescend, to look down on a large percentage of this nation by using the word Latinx, which, by the way, he pronounced Latinx. Yeah, not a joke, as Joe would say. You are prepared to condescend and insult Latin American citizens with words that are about political correctness and identity politics, but you don't know enough of their culture that you can't familiarize yourself with a word that I, as someone not born in America, know. It's bodega, a real Spanish word. It shows your innate arrogance, your utter aloofness, the idea that you look down your nose at these people. They are just voting machines. They are just meat puppets of a certain ethnicity that must vote Democrat because I use the word Latinx. That's the truth of who these people are. On top of that, how do they describe them? As a piece of meat? As a type of breakfast food? So you're prepared to lump people together in categories that are even more insulting than calling them Latinx. You know, you call in here, if you're an immigrant to America from the hemisphere. If you're a Latin American born in America, I want your reaction. We have a reaction from a professional association. It is the National Association of Hispanic Journalists that sent their statement across the legacy media. This is their response. This is American Hispanic journalists telling Jill Biden what they think. Here is the ABC News report. Play cut.
The National Association of Hispanic Journalists is responding in a tweet, encouraging, quote, Dr. Biden and her speechwriting team to take the time in the future to better understand the complexities of our people and communities. The group adding, we are not tacos.
We are not tacos. Seems like an SNL skit. Is this the America we live in? No, this is the America that the left is trying to create. People like Jill Biden, like our caller Sam the Liberal, who just want to divide us. But something's happening. We've had enough. You look at the figures for GOP candidates of Hispanic extraction who are winning across the nation, in Texas for the first time in 130 years. That's incredible. Myra Flores' victory. And of course, what happens when she's sworn in? You've seen the video. Nancy Pelosi actually elbows her young daughter out of the way because that's what Nancy Pelosi and Jill Biden wants to do with all Hispanic Americans. Elbow you out of the way if you dare to disagree. If you dare to not be a taco, then you are of no utility. If you are a mindless drone, like most Democrat voters, and only pull the lever for the Democrats because of your skin color, because that's what the bigots think of you, nah, then you have some utility. Otherwise, none at all. All right, we have an amazing show for you today. Secretary Wilkie will be with us. Lord Black, Ken Kuklowski, a lawyer from the Trump administration. Mark Morano on the truth about the lies that is the climate agenda. The phone number here is 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.